From Isaiah chapter 38 verses 1 to 5, this message encourages that there will be divine interventions if you travail in prayer. Pastor explains the three things that can kill your prayer life.
Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. That was an amazing word. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 38 verses 1 to 5. The book of Isaiah 38 verses 1 to 5.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned...
There's a nice prophecy to hear, isn't it? You want the prophet to come home and prophesy over you? The prophet is coming to Hezekiah the king and saying, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Isn't it amazing? The prophet came and gave him time to prepare himself for death. Write your will. Amen. People write all amazing things in their will. Even how their funeral has to be. I need to wear white clothes. Bury me in this cemetery. Sing for me this particular song. Well, read on. Sorry, that's not the message. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Second verse. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Underline that word. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Underline that word. Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. Amen. I'm going to title the word God's Divine Intervention. God will divinely intervene in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a prophet who's got a track record. None of his prophecies fail. Isaiah the prophet coming and speaking unto the king, set your house in order, for you shall die. Even though there was a word from God himself through the prophet turned his face towards the Lord and began to pray and began to cry. One version says he cried loudly and the Lord heard his prayer. Tonight I want to tell you, God is a God who hears your prayer. He can intervene in a situation that is taking you even to the grave, that is taking you down. God can bring you up, God can deliver you, and God can lift you out of that grave. Glory to God. If you believe that, lift your voice and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. God intervened when this man was willing to pray. But some people won't pray. You know, there are times you pray just your normal morning devotional. But there are times when you realize you have to pray because you want to see a breakthrough. You want to see God intervene in your affairs. You want to see the hand of God come down upon your situation. You don't want to carry the challenge in your life all through. You want to come out of that predicament that you are in. And you really, 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 from the bottom of your heart, look unto Jesus. You begin to call on his name and you begin to pray with a heart that is weeping before his presence. Glory to God. See, God doesn't just get up in the morning. God is in sleep. But God doesn't just get up in the morning if he was to sleep, you know, just to understand, for you to understand. Wash his face and say, okay, let me intervene in the affairs of people. No, the Bible says in Isaiah 45 verse 11, command me concerning the work of my hands. Command me. In other words, speak to me about it. You want me to intervene? Speak to me about it. Even while you're sitting there are people who want to see you in prison. There are people whom you think who love you, who want to see you go down. There are people who are happy when you are in trouble. There are people who will say, how are you? Hope all is good with you. And secretly they are rejoicing in the struggle that you're going through. And you need God to intervene. God to come down into that situation. A theologically right prayer might not help you at that particular point. What you need is a heart that is really moved towards God in faith. A face that will look to Him and pray. God can intervene if you can travail. When you are in real trouble, that is not the time for you to just have that Our Father who art in heaven kind of prayer. Or okay, I just recite Psalm 91. No, that's not the time for you to have those kind of prayer. I mean, those are powerful prayers. But you need to really, really move. He cried sore. He wept bitterly. If you keep quiet, you go down. This is the year to soar high. Glory to God. But tonight I want to tell you that the enemy won't have you before God's time in your life. He cannot have you ever. Glory to God. Now, some people look to succeed without God's help. It's a setup by the devil. You might succeed for a certain point of time, or so you think, but it's a setup. You really need God to intervene. You know, there are three things that actually kill your prayer life. One is discouragement. Doubt. You know, the Gospel of Luke 18th chapter verse 1 in the New Testament, Jesus saying these words. He said, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, or not to doubt, one version says, or not to get discouraged. So doubt, discouragement can kill your prayer life. God looks to see whether you're persistent in prayer. There's something called the law of persistence. You persist. And none of your prayers that you pray will ever be a waste, because our God is not a God of waste. He takes prayer seriously. Every time you're praying, there is something in scriptural lines that you call cloud formation. You're forming a cloud. Well, that's scripture. Ecclesiastes is the 11th chapter verse 3. Read through Ecclesiastes 11 verse 3.
If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth.
If the cloud be full of rain, it will empty itself on the earth. So every time you're praying, you form a cloud. And you got to keep praying till that breakthrough comes, till it rains on you, till God intervenes. So when you go through a dry season, when you think your prayers are not answered, there is spiritual evaporation taking place. You're filling your cloud. Every dry season, and when you pray and persist in prayer, it looks like nothing is happening, but you're praying, you're seeking the face of Jesus, you're travailing. And God says, you're forming your cloud. And when the cloud is full, it'll empty itself on the earth. It'll bring in the answer. You will find the intervention of God in your life. Some of you have been praying a lot through the years. This is your year where you will find God intervening, God pouring out His rain. If you give up, if you get discouraged and give up, you lose the battle. Are you with me? Never give up. Revelations 5 verse 8. The book of Revelations, the 5th chapter verse 8. Speaking about, that's a powerful scripture. Yes.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints.
See, golden incense full of the prayers of the saints, or the angels. One more scripture, read it. Revelations 8th chapter, verses 3, 4 and 5. 8th chapter, verses 3, 4 and 5.
And another angel came and stood at the altar.
Yeah, there were seven angels when you read through, in lack of time, so I won't read through the entire passage when you read from verse 1 onwards. But the third verse says, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Did you find that? Revelations 8. Fourth verse. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Fifth verse. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So every time you're praying, you're filling the golden vessels with your incense of worship and prayer and prayers. And when that incense bowl is filled, God says, I'm going to pour it. And it's going to be like voices, thunderings, and lightnings and an earthquake. God intervening. Glory to God. Glory to God. The rain of answer is coming for somebody tonight. Glory to God. The rain of answer. Keep pressing in prayer. Don't get discouraged. Don't doubt. Second thing that keeps killing your prayer life is what is called distraction. Have you seen, I do not know how many of you, but you start praying and then you're distracted. So many of you are so distracted that you don't even pray. But sometimes you get in for prayer and then you're distracted while you're praying. Too many thoughts going through your mind. Or imagine you are a prayer warrior and you're an intercessor and you're praying and then you got prayer burdens. You got too many burdens, prayer burdens of different people. So if you're praying for 2 hours, you separate those, imagine you have 4 prayer burdens, you separate into 30 minutes each. And you take one burden and then you're praying through. You're focused, not distracted. If you have too many thoughts and too many prayer burdens even, and prayer thoughts, child's fees, uncle's breakthrough, Andy's healing, visa for my grandchild, oh my God, too many things. Pray for the church, pray for the pastor, pray for the neighbor, pray for India, pray for Russia, pray for Uganda, and then you're distracted even with spiritual things, too many things. So take one at a time. Allot a certain point of time for that thing. Because you don't want to scatter your energy. Matthew chapter 26 verse 44. Look at how Jesus prayed. Jesus, Matthew 26 verse 44.
And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time.
See, Jesus went, left them and went.
And prayed the third time.
Prayed a third time.
Saying the same words.
Prayed a third time saying the same words. He was focused. He didn't first come and pray for John, then came back. And after that, he forgot John. He was praying for John. Then he prayed for Peter. Then he said, what was I praying for? He came back. And then he didn't pray for Andrew. No. He prayed the same prayer. Focused. Glory to God. Look at somebody and say, don't scatter your prayer energy. Amen. He prayed for the same prayer point thrice. Then there are times when you have too many, you know, your mind flies away in different directions during prayer time. That is why it is important that you keep your phone away. Get to that place of being alone with God, being your secret place with God. Even your phone shouldn't know that secret place. Even your phone should not know it's a secret. Are you with me? Get to that place of being alone with God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sometimes your mind flies away. It might be God actually speaking to you, which we'll speak about later. But you got to discern, is it the Holy Spirit or is it your heart being distracted? And then you get to that point of bringing it alone with God. And the third reason or third thing that can kill your prayer life is avoid being too busy for prayer. You're too busy, so you pray everything fast and you don't build intimacy with God. You just say your prayer request and then you come off. But Jesus is looking for you. He wants to fellowship with you. The Spirit of God, He is looking at you as His companion. He wants to speak to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have companionship. He wants you to enjoy His presence, intimacy with Him. The book of Exodus, the 5th chapter. And the verse 8, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament.
And the tail of the bricks which they did make there herefore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught therefore.
In other words, Pharaoh said, give them work and overtime and extra work, that they have no time for worship or prayer. That they don't speak about God. Give them work, extra work, overtime. See, work is good. God doesn't bless laziness. Work is good. You need to work. But so busy that you don't have time for God is dangerous. No matter how busy you are, you had time to go to gym. Your time to eat, your time to watch a movie, your time to chat on WhatsApp, your time to read a book or newspaper or whatever. And then you say you don't have time for God. No. And you're expecting God to intervene. Glory to God. Lift your hand and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need your presence. I need to have intimacy with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glorify thy name. To God. Hallelujah. Hezekiah wept bitterly or loudly. He cried unto God. He needed God's intervention. There is a time to be silent. There is great power in silence, but not silence before God when it's a time to pray. There are certain things that you should be silent about. Not silent, that you should not reveal to anybody. Those are words of wisdom. Your past mistakes and weaknesses. You need spiritual intelligence. Never ever share it with anyone. Because it is easy for people to change. Your best friend today might not be your best friend tomorrow. I've been in ministry for 32 years now, by the grace of God. And you see all kinds of people. You can tell your weaknesses, your mistakes, your sins, all to God. 1 John 1:7-9. If you confess your sins to me, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. With people, you have to allow the test of time. You have to allow certain people to pass the test of time before you can actually even trust people. Love everyone. Exodus 2 verses 11 and 13th verse. Looking at Moses. Look at that. Exodus 2, 11 and 13.
And it came to pass in those days.
It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. 13th verse. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? See, his own people. The past has to be between you and God. Sometimes people share thinking that they might have sympathy or self-pity or whatever from the other person, and they think there's a friend and they share, and then nothing of that sort happens. Acts chapter 9, New Testament. There's a word of wisdom here for somebody. Acts chapter 9, verses 21 and 23.
But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which
speaking called... about Saul who became Paul.
Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name, which called on this name in Jerusalem?
Yes, the name of Jesus. And we can read that later, lack of time. 23rd verse.
And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him.
Can you imagine that? The Jews took counsel to kill him. Once friends, now not friends. And some of the, that's why many Bible scholars believe that Paul was sent to the Gentiles because of this. The Jews knew his past and they hated him. Peter was sent to the Jews. Your past is between you and God. Lift your hand and say, your past, my past is between me and God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, always, you know, there's a time to cry and cry aloud to God for God to intervene, but I do not know why, but there's a time for you to be silent too. And that is when you're with people. Certain things you don't share. Especially your future dreams and plans. Never share it. Don't put it on Instagram immediately. Look at scriptures. Let me give you the wisdom of scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 12. The book of Nehemiah, the second chapter, verse 12. Glory to God. Yes.
And I rose in the night.
And I rose in the night, speaking about Nehemiah.
I and some few men with me.
I and a few men with me.
Neither told I any man. What my God had put in my heart.
What God had put in my heart.
To do at Jerusalem.
I didn't tell it to any man what God had put into my heart. Except the king.
Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went upon by night.
Nehemiah 2:12. He only shared the burden with the king, what God had put. So you have to have your pastor, all that, you can be open. If you have divine authority above you, that is fine. They'll pray for you. Are you with me? He said to the king for agreement in prayer. Should the people tell everybody else? And they keep it a secret from the pastor or from the man of God. Look at the same Ezekiel in 2 Kings chapter 20. Glory to God. We're learning something tonight. Are you? If you are, say hallelujah. The angels of God are watching you. Say hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 12.
At that time. Berodach Baladan. The son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick.
Yes. And he brought a gift to the prophet or to the king Ezekiah. Yes.
And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things.
And Hezekiah was so touched that he got a gift that he showed.
The silver and
the gold. Showed all the house of his precious things. 13th verse. The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor. All that is found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And Isaiah the prophet goes to the Hezekiah and says, what did you do? The men from Babylon came with a gift and you showed them everything? Because you did this, not a single treasure in your house will be in your house long enough. They will come and take it. A single mistake that Hezekiah did affected the children of Israel. They were captives in Babylon. Daniel and his three friends all went through an agonizing time because Hezekiah did not have spiritual intelligence. Are you with me? So look at Ezekiel. The same Ezekiel was sick. When he should have kept silence, he did not. But thankfully, he cried when he had to cry. And prayed. And God heard him. You should never speak about your breakthroughs among your competitors, early breakthroughs, the contract, beginning point of your contract. You are a lawyer and you just got a nice client. The beginning point you're sharing with another lawyer. Look, I... never. Don't broadcast it. You are a bricklayer. You are amazing. You got a job. And immediately go with your competitor. You have a business and immediately. Don't do that. It's not wisdom. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2.
And that we may be delivered from unreasonable.
That we may be delivered from unreasonable.
And wicked men.
And wicked men. So not everyone is born again. So Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, said that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Joseph shared his dream with his brothers, and his brothers were envious and wanted to kill him off. You're working in the same company. The other guy is also competing for the same seat. And you're going to KFC eating together and sharing your early breakthrough. And you're wondering why God is not intervening in the situation. Because you didn't use spiritual intelligence. Don't share your financial status with everybody. See, this Babylonian king maybe sent the envoy with a good intention. But after seeing everything, they said, okay. Now we know where to go, where to robe. Your income, your investments, always allow your results to speak for itself. Don't have unnecessary battles in your life. Look at somebody and say, I always allow your success to speak for itself. Even your spiritual encounters and prophecies that God has spoken over your life, don't share it with everybody. Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. Daniel 12th chapter verse 4. Look at that. We don't have time much. Come on.
But
Thou, O Daniel.
Shut up the words. And seal the book. Even to the time of the end.
Yeah. Daniel, you got a prophecy. You got the word. Shut it up. Seal the book. Don't show your diary to everybody. Look what God spoke to me 2022. God spoke 2012, 24. Are you with me? Mary, the mother of Jesus, why God could trust her was because she treasured everything in her heart. Luke 2:19. She's carrying the Messiah, the Son of God, in her womb. She could have put it on the Instagram. Guess what? What is that other chat that you have? Snapchat? Yeah. She could have taken a selfie of the... and put it on Snapchat. Just for close friends. Carrying the Messiah, the Son of God. What can be greater and bigger than that? But she treasured it in her heart. The wise men, they blurted it out even in Herod's palace. And Herod wanted to kill the child. And innocent children lost their lives because the wise men opened up their mouth. God saw this particular quality of Mary. Don't share prophecies, dreams, visions in casual places. Not everyone has good intentions about you. How many of you are learning something tonight? Glory to God. So there is a place to be silent. When Ezekiel opened up his mouth and showed everything, he got into trouble. But he's getting out of trouble in Isaiah 38 by the time to pray. the time to cry before God. He opened up his mouth. He wept so. Glory to God. Not take a song, how great thou art, once and twice and then. No, he just. See, some of you have been in that same challenge. The Lord told me stubborn problems, addictions will break tonight. If you take this word into heart, if you're going to spend time in the presence of God, even in the watches of the night, to seek the face of Jesus and to cry and pray, God will break off stubborn problems. He'll break it off. He will intervene in your situation. He cried so. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, who remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say of him, you are my God. In you I trust. To go into the presence of God. Cry. Put your trust in him. And Psalms 91, last verses. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Amen. I shall call upon the Lord and he will hear me and deliver me out of my trouble. With long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. I will call. Look at somebody and say, it's not too late. Call. Are you with me? When you have a death sentence against you, you will die. A sick you cried unto God. Never say die. Until your bones die. Because even to the bones, dry bones, the prophet came and began to prophesy. And the bones began to come together and there was flesh over it. Any dead situation, glory to God, can come back to life. Because my God is a prayer answering God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray. Are you still with me tonight? Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31, 32. Luke 22, 31.
And the Lord said, Simon,
behold,
Satan has desired to have you.
See, Satan has desired to have you.
That he may sift you.
That he may sift you. That word sift is equal to scatter, shake you. Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. But what did Jesus say that I would do? That he would do?
But I have prayed.
I'll send you a card. Stay strong. See you on the other side. Is that what Jesus did? But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. A prayer intercessor in your family can break off satanic activity in that family. Without prayer, God cannot intervene. Jesus himself said, I'll pray for you. To Peter. Can you imagine that? I've seen families that go through challenges, health challenges, financial challenges, spiritual challenges, children, wayward children, disobedient children, nothing happening in their lives, and yet they will. They have no time to pray. They have no one in their family who will pray. Who will stand in the gap? They take Christian life very casually. Get up in the morning, brush their teeth, read newspaper, have their cup. I need my cup of coffee in the morning. First thing, cup of coffee. Have a bath, get in the car, go to work, listen to some music on FM radio. Got into a meeting, busy with meeting. board meeting, then lunch. No time for lunch, but yet still lunch. Working while having lunch. Driving back, go to Starbucks, have another coffee, chat with friends, be on WhatsApp for some time, drink a beer. And you think you are great. Pranam. Satan has asked for you to sift you, scatter you, destroy you. But Jesus said, I prayed for you. What wrong did Peter do for Satan to ask of him? He only wanted to follow Jesus. You don't have to do something wrong for Satan to ask for you. He hates you. He doesn't give up. That is why you shouldn't get discouraged. You should pray. You should allow God to intervene in your life again and again. Prayer breaks off satanic activity. When you pray, God gives you grace, strength, boldness. Then you can command him to live. And God will intervene in your life, in your situation. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Ask the Lord forgiveness for any time you've been prayerless. In your family, maybe it is you who need to get on your knees and pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For divine breakthroughs, divine interventions. You need to pray. You need to pray. Some of you need to fast and pray. Some of you need to get up in the night and pray. You can't just play church and go on with life as it is normal. No, no. Somebody else might do that, but you can't. You need your breakthrough. You need to be the head only and not the tail. You need God to intervene. You need the help of Jesus. Lift your voice. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. Call on his name. Everyone who calls on his name shall be saved. Call on the name of Jesus.